You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
Thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity to bring anyone who wishes to listen, this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined today by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live via live stream from Italy, from two locations, actually. So twice as nice as it ought to be. And we're just so blessed. We're really blessed. We're fortunate. I mean, we're grateful that we awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we are truly blessed to be alive at this time. The saints envied these times. They wanted to be here for this final battle for the all-out assault on the church. And, you know, if you think about it, everything in the world, everything that's bad, everything that's not good, if you look closely enough, it's all a direct attack on God. It all is, whether it be the family, whether it be society, whether it be the church, whether it be unity, which we're going to talk about hopefully today, because today's a special day. It's the feast of the Chair Khadija of St. Peter. It's really interesting because we can say that the first cathedral was the upper room where Jesus gathered with his disciples for the Last Supper, and where they, along with the Virgin Mother, Mary, received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if we think about that, you know, Mary, as our catechism states in Article 507, she is the perfect model, the perfect example and realization of our church. So why would we not want to emulate her? And again, in the upper room at that first Pentecost, they were gathered around our Blessed Mother, seeking and searching and asking and requesting her lessons. The same is now. The second Pentecost is this gift of the divine will. The second Pentecost perhaps is this intermediate coming that we're in the midst of right now. St. Cyril of Jerusalem back in the 300s spoke of it. St. Bernard of Clairvaux spoke about it in the 1300s. Again, both are saints, both are doctors. One's a father of the church. I forget which one. And St. Bernard, he's in our breviary. The religious read it. I think it's 169. He says, there are three comings. He says, we know there are three comings of our Lord. Now, if you just stop there, people are going to say, you're a heretic. There are no three comings. But he says, but there is. This is not sheer invention. The third coming lies between the other two. So the first coming happened. The second coming has not happened. So this is, we'll call it coming 1.5. And that is this era of sanctification, this era of preparation. This is God giving us the answers to the test before we take the test. And he's making us, it's available. He says, this gift of the divine will is available to anyone. It's available to everyone in all circumstances, in all situations, and in all places. So for him to say that, this has to be universal. This has to be easy. If it was difficult, I certainly wouldn't be here. So we're just grateful that who are here are the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy. Hello, Sister Teresa has the microphone.
Hello. Hello, Peter. Hello, everyone.
Blessed feast day.
Yeah, today is an important feast. And I was thinking about the Pentecost that you were speaking before, and I was thinking two things in particular. The Pentecost is a historical event for sure in the church, when the church start to be with Our Lady and all the apostles in the cenacle, but also it's in act. The Pentecost is in act, is a dynamic, is not only an event, but for sure. So for one reason, we have to be conscious that we are always under the mantle of Our Lady and always under this dynamic, the spiritual dynamic is the life, that God is the dator of our life. And also we are in a phase of preparation for a new Pentecost. And the divine will, the reading, the writings of the divine will can help us to predispose ourselves to receive in not only in a passive way, but in an active way, this big gift that is the Holy Spirit, is the life of God. And about the feast of today, There is I don't quote the specific passage, but I can tell you that in the second reading of the office that we read today, this morning, the reading was telling us how much important is the rule. Yes, for sure, we already know, but is it an opportunity to meditate about this mystery? How much important is the rule of Peter in the church? Because in the church is the mystical body of Jesus, and each one of us has a specific rule and a specific important rule through the charism that we receive from the Holy Spirit. But the big charism is on Peter, on his person, and the first reason is for sure to go to the unity. Because this is the prayer that Jesus make to his father before starting his passion, and this is the first mission of Peter, to gather the unity in the church, and he is the person who can guarantee the presence, the special presence of Jesus on earth, for sure after the Eucharist, and each one of us. Is important to starting from the prayer and also through the sacrament. Every time we go to mass, the priest connect our prayer to the prayer of the Pope. But also in our personal prayer, we can be every time connected with him, because through him we receive the grace. Because the church has two big, say in Italian, pilastri, two columns, three columns for sure. The Eucharist, Peter, the Pope, and Our Lady. The three things that all three together are white. Our Lady of Revelation give these messages to Bruno Cornacchiola, is an apparition in Rome in 1947. Three things are necessary to be real Catholic, and three things are altogether white: the Eucharist, the Pope, and Our Lady. And we receive the grace through Jesus, because he intercedes with us for us to the Father in the Eucharist. In the writings of Divine of Luisa Picaretta, he say that in the Eucharist he do every day his day. He incarnate every day. He give himself to the passion every day. He is risen every day. And he intercede for us to all the graces we receive, because we are united with Jesus through the Eucharist. But we receive all the graces through the womb of Our Lady. And we receive all the graces in a special way through our unity with the Pope, with the Pope. Today we have Pope Francis. And I was telling before, each one of us has a rule. Each one of us has a specific charism. And in one sense, we can imitate, we can emulate the Pope in his big action. He's to make decision. He has make decision, not because he think about something, but because he's in a special way helped by the Holy Spirit. What is the passage of the Word of God that can help us to understand what is the mystery of the Pope? When Jesus told Peter, not the flesh, not your flesh, not the blood, but I say not in a correct way, because I remember in Italian, but my Father through the Holy Spirit revealed himself to you. So the secret is the connection totally and continuously with the Holy Spirit. We have to be united with him, because we have to receive through him the truth of the church, the truth, and through him make the right and the holy decision, not in a human way, but in a divine way. And speaking about decision, I can use this passage from volume 35, January 2, 1938. And Luisa was telling, I continue my flight in the divine volition, and I was thinking to myself, The living in the divine will seems incredible. How can one live in it? The miseries and the weaknesses that one feels are so many, and the encounters, the circumstances. But as much as one feels them, it seems that the divine will wants to invest everything with its light and burn everything up with its love in such a way that nothing other than its will and love must exist between itself and the creature. It's so simple, but it's so important, this part for us, because it's a testimony by Luisa. Because we know this by reading the volumes, but it's a testimony. She really had the experience of all her miseries, the misery of the whole humanity, but also above this misery, how much big is the love and the power of God. So it's a hope for us. But while I was thinking this, my dear Jesus, who is always on the lookout to spot and see whether there is anything in me which is not his will, told me, "My good daughter, my jealousy for one who lives in my will is such that I do not tolerate a single thought or a weakness or anything else which does not have life in it. Now you must know that in order to begin to live in my will, it takes a decision of the part of God and a firm decision to live in it on the part of the creature. Now, this decision is animated by a new life, by a divine strength, such as to render the creature unconquerable by any evil or circumstances of life." So the thing is, yes, we have different circumstances of life that can have power on ourselves to make decision, and is a risk. Because the point is that what we do with this writing, we go through a powerful instrument to go to the origin. Our origin is the original innocence, but in our days, we are not full in the original innocence. We feel all our miseries. So the risk is to make the wrong decision because we are surrounded by evil things. We feel alone. We feel a risk to fall in any situation. Because, for example, in a relation, we can make a bad decision or finding a job. We can to make a decision. We have many things that can make us in fear or in our relation with God. In a relation, for example, we have not the right light to see Jesus in that person. In finding a job, for example, we think sometimes finding a job like an idol, but if we focus on the providence of God, we can make a right decision, not with the fear, but with the hope. In our relation with God, we can have a risk to think, I don't deserve forgiveness, but it's not right because he's always ready to give us forgiveness. So the important thing is to be always under the light of the Holy Spirit because God is always good. And she continues, "This decision is not subjected to changes because when we decide, we don't bother dealing with kids who make a joke for their decision, but with those whom we know must persevere. Therefore, we give our own so that this creature may not fall short. It may be that she feels the miseries, the evils, the weaknesses, but this means nothing. Because in the face of the power and sanctity of my will, these things die. They feel the pain of death and they flee. More so since these miseries are not a burden from the human will, because her human will is sunken inside my will and therefore cannot will anything but what I myself want." This is an important goal, to unite not only our spirit, our mind, our heart, but all our person. Is the center is the will, so our will with the will of God.
Yeah, you know, I think today on this specific day, you know, You talk about unity, and that's so vitally important. And of course, that's why it's under extreme attack from all sides. You know, the unity in the family is under attack. The unity in the countries are under attack. The unity in the church is under attack, because again, unity is God. And remember, everything that's bad is actually an attack on God. So if God is united, the evil says, I'm gonna try for disunity. If God is love, I'm going to try to get everyone to hate. So again, we've got this. But again, Peter and his successors, they were chosen as the visible and the principal signs of unity. And hence, there's no wonder why the Catholic Church is the most persecuted, the most attacked entity of all times. It's because it is in of itself holding all these pieces together. And we have to be careful too with the divine will. You know, you were reading and you mentioned about Jesus being jealous. Okay, that's not jealous like the way we think. It's jealousy where he's constantly thinking about us, constantly loving us. So we can't put it into our human terminology. Just like, for example, when we talk about, or when our Blessed Mother and our Lord talk about divulging secrets. Ooh, secret. You know, we think in our world, secret, it's bad. You know, why are you withholding this secret? No, but what is a secret? Again, this is a mystical language, so we have to think mystically. So, but Our Lady, she gives us this answer. She tells us in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, it's in meditation number one, she explains to us the language of heaven. She says, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is it not nefarious when Jesus and Our Lady talk about a secret, it's actually a humble compliment. They're saying that they would not be divulging these truths to us at this time if they did not feel we were prepared. We were ready to accept them. And not just to accept them, not just to understand them, but to put them into practice, which is the ultimate test. It's all here. And it's cryptic at times. It's veiled at times. That's our work. Our work, we did nothing to deserve this gift. It was a gift. It was given to us freely by God. Remember, mystical gifts are not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given unequally to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. But once the gift is given to us, once we acknowledge the existence of it, that's when our work begins. And that's when we're going to receive from God commensurate to our desire. It's all here, and it's all really now up to us. Sister?
You speak about the secret. Sorry.
I was just going to say, well, Peter, it was so funny you were talking about that, because the passage that I picked for today, I wasn't going to read a certain part. I was just going to jump to what I wanted to talk about. But you mentioned the word secret. Then you mentioned about the gifts and all that. And the word secret is in here, and also talking about gifts and beatitude. So it's from volume 18, February 18th, 1926. I'm going to jump to the second paragraph because this is Jesus speaking to Louisa. So I'll say, okay, let me start here then. "All these little flames that you see in the endless sea of my will are the symbol of the secret beatitudes, joys, and happinesses which it contains. I say secret because, since I have not yet manifested the fullness of the knowledge which the eternal will contains, nor are there the right dispositions and creatures in order to manifest them, all these beatitudes remain ad intra, inside the divinity, as we are waiting to put them out for the one who would be born, live, and carry out her will, her life in our will, with no interruption, because her will being one with ours, all the divine doors are opened and our most intimate secrets revealed. The joys and the beatitudes are placed in common as much as it is possible for a creature and as much as she is capable of. So you see, my daughter, each manifestation that I make to you about my will is a beatitude released from the womb of the divinity, which not only makes you happy and disposes you more to live in my will, but prepares you for more new knowledges. And not only this, but all of heaven remains inundated by that new beatitude which has come out of our womb. Oh, how grateful they are to you, and how they pray that I continue the manifestations on my will. These beatitudes were closed into ourselves by the human will, and each act of human will is a lock to these celestial beatitudes, not only in time, but also in eternity, because each act of my will done on earth sows in the soul the seed of that beatitude which she will enjoy in heaven. Without the seed, it is useless to hope for the plant. Therefore, deeper and deeper do I want you inside my will. So going along with your thread, Peter, you were talking about how when we hear the word secret, we think it's bad. And here Jesus says that he uses the word secret because it's not yet manifested. So in a way, secret, it's right. Like secret, what is secret? Well, if you think about it, secret is that which is not revealed, something that is hidden, something that is invisible. So that's what Jesus is using here when he says, I say secret because since I have not yet manifested. So you see, and then he also says here, we are waiting to put them out. So you see, it is secret because it has not been manifested yet because it is not time. You know, that's the thing. God's timing is everything. You know, like you can't plan it. Like when things happen, things don't happen by accident. It's God, all in God's timing. Sometimes we don't understand that. But if we think about it, though, he is outside of time. So God, and he knows everything. He knows what's going to happen. And so in a way, this goes to show you this.
But you know, sister, really, really quickly, yes. It connects perfectly, yes. Because when Our Lady says it's a need of a heart, which is irresistibly revealed. So God is waiting to reveal this. He's not holding it back intentionally like some of us will do it. That's the nefarious definition. This is a greater good, but he cannot give it. It's like that silly analogy. You know, you don't give the keys to a brand new car to a 3-year-old because they're going to lose the keys. They don't know the value. They don't know how to use what's been given to them. So when they achieve that certain disposition, I would presume is what I'm reading into it, when the secret is irresistibly revealed. Yes. When those who are desiring and those that are hungry, I mean, someone who's thirsty is going to welcome that drink. Someone who's saturated with liquids is going to say thank you, but no thank you. So again, that position, that conditioning is what God is waiting for. Excuse me. And nothing conditions us better than reading and listening to everything given to us through Louisa. It's just incredible.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Because you said it, like when one thing might be significant or touch the heart of someone for a specific reason or more than one reason, but then someone else in the same room, it doesn't touch them at all because it's not meant for them. That's the thing. I mean, this would probably be a silly, like you mentioned a silly analogy. You called it silly. I'm not saying it wasn't. I like that analogy.
I like silly analogies. Jesus, this is the School of Mary. We have fun.
Yeah, Jesus also used that analogy in the Divine Will volumes. He was talking about like a banknote, like a lira, like a large amount of lira, Italian money. And he says, well, you don't give it to a child. The child's just going to tear it up. It's going to be useless and all that. But for example, like for me, like when we got the news that we were going to have a new bishop in our diocese here, you know, by this summer. And so we were driving back from the meeting and I was in the car and I was thinking, you know, about what is this going to mean for us and so on and so forth. And it's in the middle of February. It's cold. So there are no insects around. And I was unfolding my poncho that I was wearing. And all of a sudden, when I finished unfolding it, there was this little ladybug and it was very much alive. And I'm in shock because I'm like, what is a ladybug doing here alive? And so I picked it up. And then in that moment, I don't know how to explain it, but I took that as a sign from Our Lady, because that's the origin of ladybug. Ladybug was named after Our Lady. And I took the sign as that, don't worry, all will be well with this new bishop. You know, so like you see for me, but then when I shared that with some other people, you know, like they didn't see it. Like actually they laughed, you know? So you see, but it was meant for me. The Lord understood how I would understand that imagery, you know? So that was the confirmation for me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's silly. Like you mentioned, we're talking about silly analogy, but that touched me. But you see, it's the same thing here with the gifts. Like Jesus says, each manifestation of the divine will is a beatitude that is released by God. So that's the thing. God can't release it to the wrong person at the wrong time, because then it's not the right timing. Nothing is fulfilled and so on and so forth. So that's why it's really important that we just trust God. We leave everything into his hands, You know, we totally abandon ourselves to him because he will work it out in his own timing and how and when it should be. And he's going to do it way better than we could have possibly thought about it. So anyway.
No, that's so true. And, you know, and what he has in store for you is going to be slightly different, or maybe tremendously different than for me. We all have an office. We all have a part to play. We're all a piece of the puzzle. And there's really no greater piece, no lesser piece. Because if you think about it, some people say, well, you know, I'm not a priest. Well, you know, the priest it's a holy, holy order. But if you look at the catechism, if you look at Vatican II, the ministerial priesthood is there to assist the common priesthood. So we're in this together. So we don't look at each other on different shelves, on different. The only one sitting above us is our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady. We're all connected. And that's what's so beautiful about this. I'd like to go into the break, though, with just a quick blip on, again, we were talking about the upper room being you know, the first Pentecost, and Jesus had the disciples there. They were all spoken to in a way that they all understood. The Blessed Mother was there. And then, remember, Barnabas and Paul, they were the ones that were the leaders, the first into Greece. And that's who they knew. They didn't know Peter. They didn't see Peter. So Paul and Barnabas were the ones that they went to. Well, what happened after the upper room? Courage, perhaps. Fortitude, perhaps. Intuition, perhaps. Guidance, perhaps. What did Peter do? Well, he went to Antioch. And when he went to Antioch, where Barnabas and Paul were the ones preaching, that's where we were given the name, the first name of Christians. And that can be found in Acts 11:6. Can't make this stuff up. And God's gone through everything for 6,000 years. He's done everything for us. He's put all the safety nets in place. There's no way we can fall. Yes, we may fall off the bar, but we will not hit the ground. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
I'm free to dream, free You're listening to Radio Maria, a Catholic voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. Boy, Larry's voice has changed. Want to just spend a moment here on something very, very important, please. Next week, we have coming up the Radio Maria Lenten Mariathon. And this is so vital. This is so important. As you know, Radio Maria is 100% listener supported. So there's no nobody that can push an agenda. Nobody can give money and say, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. Remember what Rothschild said? He said, give me control of the money. I care not who make the laws, because the money drives almost everything except Radio Maria. And that's which is holy. So what we're asking everyone to do is to participate. And God's giving us this opportunity to participate. We can all participate spiritually. And please, it's through the prayers of each and every one of us that help Our Lady's mission be fulfilled through Radio Maria. And but also God has blessed many of us with financial resources. And the great news is that God knows exactly who these are, who these individuals are. And he's not going to ask us who do not have to give financially, but he is asking us subtly, those who do have, to please consider giving. So if you would please go to radiomaria.us and click on the donate button. Also, you can call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. So this Maria Lenten Mariathon is going to be Monday, February 26th to March 1st. Again, next week. So if you're contemplating any big purchases this weekend, why don't you hold off until after the Mariathon, then you can go about your business. But we are encouraging you all, please, to give what you can. To whatever extent you can. Again, please dial 888-408-0201 or simply go to radiomaria.us. Now, we're going to do our part also. We're going to offer, as we have always been doing, an I Am Catholic card and a relic card of Luisa Picaretta, which I'm showing on the screen, but this is radio. You can't see, but trust me, it's there. So you'll get the I Am Catholic card. You'll get the relic card, which actually has a piece of Luisa's clothing. And for anyone donating $100 or more, you will also get a medal from Autumn from Italy of Saint Benedict. It's in a beautiful little plastic case. It's a small medal of Saint Benedict with his prayer. So anyone making a donation of $100 or more will receive that, in addition to the I Am Catholic card and the Luisa Picaretta relic card. So please be generous. 888-408-0201. RadioMaria.us. Please be generous, because I like what I do and I want to stay here, and I can only stay here if Radio Maria is here. So, and we'd be missing the sisters. Can you imagine that? No, I can't imagine that. So back to the sisters. I think, who's got the microphone in their hand? I think Sister Benedicta. Hello, Benedicta. Sister Benedicta.
Hello, how are you? Okay, so my meditation was on volume 24, August 6, 1928. And I'm just going to mention the last part of it. It's a very rich passage, but I'm going to just focus on this last part where Jesus is talking about his divine will is light. So he's telling Luisa, he says, my daughter, my will is light, and the prerogative and virtue of its light is to empty of every passion the soul who lets herself be dominated by it. In fact, its light places itself within her as center, and with its heat and vivifying light gets rid of any human weight and vivifies and converts everything into seed of light, forming the new life in the soul with no seed of evil, all pure and holy, as she came out of our creative hands, in such a way that this fortunate creature cannot fear that she might do harm to anyone. In fact, true light does harm to no one. On the contrary, it brings to all the good that my vivifying light contains, nor can she fear that she might receive any harm, because true light is untouchable by even the shadow of evil. Therefore, she has nothing left to do but enjoy her fortune and spread to all the light that she possesses. And I was thinking, wow, man, it just sounds unbelievable in a sense. Like, really, like, how is that, I mean, because you have concupiscence, you know, and in the catechism, concupiscence, just to be clear, it says concupiscence comes from sin because of the fall, inclines to sin, but is not itself a sin. It cannot harm those who do not consent to it. And Pope John Paul II, in one of his Wednesday audiences, he talked about purity. He said, In mature purity, man enjoys the fruits of victory over concupiscence, a victory of which St. Paul writes, exhorting man to control his own body in holiness and honor. He enjoys the efficaciousness of the gift of the Holy Spirit. He restores to his experience of the body, all its simplicity, its lucid clarity, and also its interior joy. So that kind of, you know, brought some encouragement there. But then at the same time, I was thinking, wow, but you know, that we've got a lot of work to do, and it's true. But I got a lot of comfort in one of Luisa's letters that she wrote to one of her sisters. And she said, she told her, "Oh, how I would love to hear you say, I do not think about whether I am beautiful or bad, or whether I am cold or warm. My thought is to make all my acts and my being flow in the will of God. Then Jesus will take care of making you a saint, of rendering you constant and good as he wants you to be. As long as you keep the thought of yourself, even in good, Jesus will not take the reins to lead you and make of you another Jesus, the repeater of his life. Let Jesus do, and you will see that soon you will feel totally different from the way you feel now. Jesus can do things better than we, so let him do it." So, you know, it's true. You know, of course, he sees our desire when we just leave it all in his hands and just focus on him, consoling his heart and everything that we do, entering it. We see ourselves in him, you know, see yourself in Jesus, all your acts in Jesus, with Jesus. And he does, he takes care of the rest. And little by little, you know, he'll bring things to light, you know, that maybe you need to work on or that you need to repent of, you know, self-knowledge, you know, or maybe there's some resentment that you need to take care of, the healings of wounds and all these things. You know, he brings that to light, and he takes care of you if you really, just like Sister was saying, just totally abandon yourself to him and ask Our Lady, in the womb of Our Lady, you know. So anyway, that was my meditation. Back to you, Peter.
Yeah, I think the greatest fear is fear itself. It's not taking that first step. So for example, you were mentioning about the positive attributes that come from something such as that. Let's just take something, for example, like fasting. Now, fasting to me is daunting because I love to eat. But if you think about it, if you look at the benefits of fasting, you can think more clearly. You actually have more stamina. You're not as sluggish as you have more vitality. So how can you fast and feel better? Shouldn't you feel worse? No, that's what the world tells us. Fasting, we're going to be so tired, so hungry. No, we're going to be alive because it's the food. Almost all of us, to a certain extent, eat more than we have to. And that bogs us down. So again, this fear of the unknown is usually the greatest fear. Once we step into it, once we turn the light on, we say, what am I afraid of? And I think that's what, especially with the divine will, do not be afraid. And I look at it this way. Look around yourself. Look around the whole world. What do you have to lose? Give the divine will a try. It can't be any worse than this now. Give it a try. This is the antidote to every poison, every evil, everything that's wrong in the world. And God is saying, it's here, but not many can see it. We can see it. Radio Maria sees it. Sister Teresa sees it. Sister.
Fasting is so difficult.
Me too.
But at the beginning, it's so normal to have some difficulties to put in practice our big desire to make a good, real fasting. But at the beginning, we have to collect all our good intentions. But also at the same time, we have to ask in humility the grace to have a good fasting, and also to do step by step this sacrifice together with Our Lady. In divine will, we have to try to make an effort to live our each instant of our life in divine will, so with Jesus, with Mary, and with their help, they can support us. And yes, this is important to focus on the benefit that we have to realize, to obtain with the fasting, and also to think that this act was made in divine will by Jesus and Mary, so we can unite our fasting with the fasting of Jesus and Mary, and it became a divine act, a divine fasting. They can give grace to many other souls. I want to do a step back on the meditation about the decision, also linked my meditation to what Sister Benedicta was telling about concupiscence, because it's the automatic consequence of the original sin. And in this situation, we usually make decision in a wrong way, because we make decision for fear, for having a human respect, or for personal interest. If we have to close to make a stop to this kind of decision, we have to link our decision to the decision of Jesus and Mary. And about decision, there is also a passage in the volume of Our Lady and Day 3, and Our Lady tell Luisa, if with a firm resolution you decide no longer to give life to your human will, you will feel all evils die within you and all goods come back to life. And then everything will smile at you. The divine will take the third step also in you, and all creation will make a feast for the newly arrived in the kingdom of the divine will. In one sense, also with the fasting, we cannot make an act to go totally in divine will today, but we can do step by step. I can start for my fasting, uniting my fasting with the fasting of Jesus and Mary, and I make in this way a good decision. And more I go in this good decision, I will be more able to make a good decision. But there is also a dynamic, because I was thinking, yes, this is the third day, but also there are 2 days before. And what happens in the day one and day two and day three for Our Lady? At day one, she was purified when she was conceived. At day two, she was presented to the throne of God. At day three, she received all good from God. And at day three, we can read that Our Lady told Luisa, "What did the divine fiat not give to me? It gave me everything. Heaven and earth were in my power. I felt dominator of all, even of my creator." So all good were given to her. And what is our position? It's the same. But in what way? She received in a special and unique way. We cannot compare ourselves to her. But we have a special, special gift, the Holy Mass. Because when we participate in a correct way, especially in this time of Lent, in the Holy Mass, first we will be purified. This is the dynamic of the liturgy in the Mass. In the Mass, the second, we will present it through Jesus to the throne of God, and after, what we will have? We receive all goods. Where? In the Eucharist. In the Eucharist, receive it in the divine will. It's a powerful, so powerful that we became mothers and fathers of many souls, because we receive not only for take for ourselves, but to give to others. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And little by little, we cannot go there quickly in only one act. We have to have the humility to walk in this dynamic of purification. But every time we allowed to be purified, we receive many, many, many graces.
That's so true. You know, another thing we have to grow to expect in the divine will is that things are not exactly the way they appear in our world. You know, again, we mentioned about the secret having that nefarious connotation to it, but it's really not. If we think about what the way Jesus and Mary view it, and again, that's to be what we're concerned with. I mean, confidence is another thing. I remember Jesus saying that that basically the greatest ingredient to humility is confidence. I said, wait a minute, isn't that a paradox? Isn't confidence the opposite of humility? Well, not really. I mean, if you think about it, as we fast, once we break that threshold that first day, we begin to get some confidence. I can do this. Once we're doing other sacrifices, in our mind, it's impossible. Once we begin, through God, everything is possible. Well, it's possible. I'm gaining confidence. And this confidence, as Jesus says, he says we must have this confidence in order to foster a behavior of humility. Because think about it, if we know that we know, and we know that we know that we know, we don't have to go around proving it. In fact, Jesus says, I think it's in volume 3, January 3rd, 1900, I think it is, talking about confidence. So Jesus seemed to accept my poor offering, Luis is saying. And then he turned to me and said, confidence has two arms. With one, it embraces my humanity, and it uses my humanity as a staircase in order to ascend to my divinity. With the other, it embraces the divinity and draws celestial graces in torrents, in such a way that the soul remains all inundated within the divine being. When the soul is confident, she is certain to obtain what she asks for, end quote. So what a great lesson.
Yes, humility is to realize not that we are nothing, but is to realize that all we receive from God. So we have to have open heart, open mind also, and open hands to receive. Because with the open heart, we have to love first Jesus for receiving love. And open mind, no limits about what we can receive from him. And open hands, because we have to be ready. And right. Also, I think at one point, our hands will be not enough to receive to all he wants to give us, give to us. And I was thinking also an image. If you go to the house of a person, a friend, a member of our family, and you go in this house, you go in the kitchen, you cannot open the fridge and have a drink or something, a piece of cheese. No.
Yeah, I do,
you
I have do to but
ask
I get in trouble.
Permission,
yeah, I get in trouble.
You have to ask permission. But in our relation with God is not this situation. You have to open and take. What he about what he said these to us in the writings about his passion. The passion is all there, is ready for us. We have only to grasp, to take for us, and to meditate and to give to others. It's ready. We have not to ask. We have not only to take for us. And there is also another image that I have now in my heart. Santa Gemma Galgani, and she was a soul. She suffered the passion of Christ. She has stigmata, and she interceded all her life for the conversion of sinners. And when she interceded for the salvation of souls, she was not so simple with Jesus, so sweet. Oh, Jesus, can you give me this soul? No, she was so strong. They say, you have to give it to me. You have to give it to me. You have to give it to me. She was full of confidence. And this is not humility, for sure is humility. But the souls that are very, that they have very a special confidence with Jesus, they have it because they know him. Only with knowledge. Knowledge is love. So true right. love, true knowledge, we can acquire a lot of confidence.
Right. That's exactly how we do gain it. Because again, the more we know, the more we love, and the more we love, the more we want to serve. So we go right back to the Baltimore Catechism to know, love, and serve God in that order. Know him, love him, and serve him. And now we know to bring all three of those to fruition, it's only through the gift of living a divine will. And so, you know, it's all about having a complete thought, allowing God to take the thought to its fruition. So for example, we are everything when we're with God, and we are nothing without God. So in a complete sentence, it makes perfect sense. One without the other can cause some confusion. Again, confusion causes disunity. It's everything the opposite of God. It's our job to step in the breach and put everything back together again. Sisters, we have
a
few minutes
left. The same means of the secret. We cannot, we cannot realize, we cannot have unity without cooperation with God. But the base is the secret, because in the secret, what is the heart of the internal union, with the heart of the intimacy that we have with God. This is the secret. It is the relation, all we receive from God through the Holy Spirit. So this is the secret.
Right. That's true. And for those in the world that keep talking about, you know, unity, 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 unless we're grounded in truth, unity, number one, is impossible in its full state. And number two, if it was united, it would be a false unity. So, for example, if I see yellow and you see green and sister sees orange and we say, okay, we're going to be united. We see orange. No, no, we're not all united. Okay, then we're united. We're also going to see green. No, we're not united. Unless we can all be grounded in truth, there will not be a unity. Otherwise, it'll be a false unity. So we have to first drive the truth. And that's why it's so important. Remember, evangelize, the apostle told, go to the ends of the earth, proclaiming the good news.
Yep.
Bringing to the good news.
Today we were listening catechesi at table about the silence, the power of the silence, and sometimes where it is so difficult to realize to have a unity with persons. One of the secrets is to have silence, because through silence we get space to the Holy Spirit. We cannot say every time, okay, I have this opinion, I have this opinion. Yet, but what is your opinion? Because if I give importance also to your opinion, I give space to the Holy Spirit to create unity through us. And so sometimes
that's true. Silence. That's true. You know, I'm thinking also, sister, because as we're silent, instead of, you know, we're voicing an opinion and then we're usually following up with an opinion before that first opinion has even been digested. So if we're silent, we allow the other side to sort of digest it and maybe they'll accept it. Maybe they'll understand it. But if we keep talking, I mean, their fences get higher and higher and higher and nothing's going to get accomplished.
There is no color also. We can see together the rainbow.
That's true. That's true. That's really true. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got about 2 minutes left. Who would like
it was funny. You brought again Peter Colors. And the thing is, that was my second passage that I have found. It was from Volume 4, February 19th, 1902. The blurb was, "The soul is like a canvas which receives the portrait of a divine image." It's only one paragraph long, this entire passage. So let me jump to, we were talking about analogies, but unlike, you know, like we were talking about silly ones. This one actually is a really nice example. So what Jesus says to Luis is, "My light is like the brush with which to paint. My virtues provide the different colors. And the soul is like a canvas receiving the portrait of the divine image within herself." So it was just funny how you were bringing up about the colors and about unity and then about the silence. It's true, because like anything, you need to give time for things to be absorbed. So like we were talking about discussions, like, you know, trying to reach common ground. If you think about it, like even, I'm trying to think of something in cooking, but I just remember, I have memories of certain things that I have cooked. You need to pour something, but then you can't pour it all at once. You have to leave some time for the ingredients to be absorbed.
That's
then
so
you
true.
Continue pouring. Yeah. So, I mean, there's like so many things and so many things.
Just like what God does to us when he gives us drips and drabs of the divine will. He can't give it all at once.
And that's what we've talked about more than once. And I think I've mentioned it more than once, this passage about it on Mary's Hill over the years, how Luisa asked Jesus, "Well, why didn't you just tell the apostles about the divine will while you were here on earth?"
Yeah,
and then I don't know the exact words of Jesus, but to paraphrase, he basically said, "Well, it wasn't time. They wouldn't have understood. It wasn't the right time." And back again about God's timing.
Right.
And I think I did a little bit more colorful. I said, basically, their brains would have short-circuited if he tried to tell them all about the divine will.
So true.
Like we're talking about, we need to. And then I think someone had once said, like, in order to be like a good speaker or something, you need to be first a good listener.
Hence the
silence. Like, just be quiet and let everyone talk. Pause.
Thanks for a moment
and see if there is some truth in someone else's, and what they're saying. Exactly.
You're right. You're certainly right. Well, you know what? In Thanksgiving, we're out of time, unfortunately. But sisters, thank you so much for your vocation, for your time. In Thanksgiving to God and to Radio Maria for allowing this broadcast, we'd like to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This kingdom is so valuable that once you have glimpsed it, it is worth parting with everything you have in order to obtain it. even though to others you may look foolish, you know of the hidden treasure, and that makes it worth everything. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Fiat. Please give generously. 888-408-0201. RadioMaria.us. Please, please. I want to be on air. We want to be on air. Please help support us. Love you. Bye-bye. Ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.